Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
This is Margaret McCall. You're listening to Business Life Works, the show that guides you and coaches you on being more resilient, using your consciousness to align your thoughts, your emotions, and your desires with your intentions. You can go to my book and learn more about my work, The Harmonic Matching Process. You can go to margaretmccall.com. And you can read the book, The Relationship Code, or Tune Into Love to learn more about this. But today, we are here to promote the work of Stephen Sitterhoff. Stephen, you with me?
I'm here.
Wonderful. Stephen's out in California, and I'm so thrilled to have you to talk about this topic. I know you're an expert in this area, and I really look forward to having a conversation, dialogue, and kind of taking this to a new level, Stephen. So let me give a little intro and talk a little bit about you, and you can add in some more information so our listeners can connect with you later, okay? Maybe after the show. So wildfires rage through Southern California, clinical psychologist Stephen Sitterhoff was forced to evacuate his home along with hundreds of thousands of other L.A. residents. While the situation was chaotic and stressful, he credits his years-long practice of mindfulness resilience with giving him the ability to manage despair. In times of crisis, emotions can be overwhelming, and it is vital to acknowledge and process them without judgment, he says. And I couldn't agree more with that, to take every experience and ask ourselves, what can I learn from this? What new desire does this situation bring forth in me? And then shift our energy from maybe feeling like poor me to what can I do to move things forward for me? And what have I learned here that's going to not only help me but help other people? So today, while he's with us, Dr. Stephen Sitterhoff is going to describe his holistic methodology based on the 9 key pillars to help all of us thrive, even in the midst of despair and overwhelming stress. Let me give you a little bit more information about Dr. Sitterhoff, and then, Dr. Sitterhoff, feel free to add in to anything I'm saying. I know you are an internationally renowned psychologist, consultant, and professor at UCLA, and you've established this innovative training and treatment programs around the world. He's hosted summits on longevity, resilience, and leadership, and published pioneering research in brain and behavior, which I'm always very, very interested in that topic. It's all about consciousness, right? And Dr. Sitterhoff is a thought leader. He's called on to speak on his groundbreaking approach to resilience, peak performance, and transformational psychology. His new book, The 9 Pillars of Resilience, The Proven Path to Master Stress, Slow Aging, and Increased Vitality, can be purchased wherever books are sold, Amazon, online. Can they also get your book on your website?
You can get it through my website. You can also get it at bookstores. It's available in bookstores.
Yep, that makes sense, certainly, of course. Your book came out this past year, didn't it, in 2024?
Yes, it did.
Yes. Well, congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Let's get started with how you were inspired to learn more about resilience. I think personally, and just people I've known, have taken their challenging situations and said, I got to get out of this or I'm just going to sink. I'm going to be depressed. I'll never be able to do what I came to do, right? Or do my job or be with my family because I'm sinking. And I know for me, I got interested because I wanted to shift my own consciousness into something more beautiful and with more light and love. How about you? Tell us what inspired you to really dig in and learn more about this topic.
Well, Margaret, when I first switched from doing brain research into clinical practice, and part of my practice was working in addiction and research and practice in addiction, in part with, you know, the average person, the executives, one of the things that stood out was that you can be doing okay until the stresses build up. And when the stresses build up, it strains your ability to cope. In the area of addiction and recovery, actually, stress is one of the key causes of increases in craving, which leads to relapse. So I realized its significance there. And when I started working with corporations, there too I found that if you look at absentee rates, if you look at productivity, if you look at any of the markers of success or well-being of a company, you find that stress is a key modulator of all of this. And so that led me on this path of both working with people in this field as well as doing research on it. And you know, the interesting thing, you know, people all struggle with stress. It's been referred to right now as the pandemic of the 21st century. Why is it? Why do people struggle so much? And so that was part of the research that I've been working on and doing and becoming enlightened on. And you know, the interesting thing is, one of the things that I've discovered is that we are all designed to fail. It sounds strange to say because usually in the process of evolution, we all adapt to our environments and we adapt perfectly. Otherwise, we don't survive. Our species doesn't survive.
Right.
So how is it possible that we're not really adapted? And there are a few reasons for this, Margaret. The first one is that the environment that our ancestors adapted to, the hunter-gatherer environment, we still have that stress response, the survival mechanism of that environment. So while our environment has changed so drastically to today's modern industrial environment, our biology has not changed. So we are now maladapted to our environment. We think about all the stresses in your day. How many of them are appropriately handled by either fighting them or running from them? None, pretty much. And so we're continually mobilizing with this survival mechanism, this stress response that doesn't fit our environment. So we mobilize all that energy, and then on top of that, we have to come along and constrain that energy, tightening our muscles, creating tension in our bodies, and using up even more energy, vital energy that we don't have unlimited resources to. So we have a mismatch from an evolutionary perspective. We have a mismatch from a developmental perspective because we learn to use that stress response in our childhood environment. We adapt to our childhood environment. And just like our biological adaptation no longer fits, our psychological adaptation also no longer fits because we adapt to our tiny little environment of usually of our primary caregivers and family, and then our adaptation freezes to those lessons. Our brain literally develops based on the lessons of childhood, but we get into the bigger world as an adult, and a lot of those lessons are actually inappropriate. And so, again, another mismatch. And if that's not bad enough, I have a third problem that we all face. And I'll ask you, and I'll ask your audience, if you think about all the successes you've had in your life, I guarantee that all or most have been associated with stress. And so one of my early mentors, one of the pioneers in neuroscience, Donald Hebb, said, neurons that fire together wire together. So our brains are also wired by connecting stress and success. And so we actually are biased toward looking for stress in our lives because all of our successes have been associated with it. So my work and my book is designed to help people address these ways that we have created stress in our lives inappropriately, out of proportion to what works for us, wasting precious energy on things that don't serve us, are not productive, and learning to get into a better place of balance where we use our resources more effectively.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. So your process, the nine pillars of resilience, is really based on that understanding.
It's based on that understanding. It's based on a recognition that all of our good intentions go and frequently in the wrong direction. And how do you uncouple the response from the responses and conditioning that we've developed to work more effectively and be more resilient in the present time? You mentioned that I had been evacuated during the fires, and that's a very good example. One of the things that's so important for people to realize is that we don't have an unlimited amount of resources. That when we are stressed and we have the stress response, you know, we mobilize, we activate our bodies to deal with whatever the stresses are throughout our day. That we're using up valuable resources in the body. The body has to metabolize. The body has to mobilize. And then when we do that, there are waste products that get dumped into the cell, into cellular space and have certain kinds of damage. And so you want to make sure that when you use your stress response, you're using it smartly, wisely, and appropriately. But what happens with so much of the time in our lives, and I'll use this example, I'm evacuated, I'm watching the news, and I'm seeing fires approaching my neighborhood in Topanga Canyon, and I'm getting worried. Is my house going to survive? Is it going to still be there? And I had to catch myself, and this may be an extreme kind of situation, but there's so many situations in all of our lives that we have no control over, but still we engage the stress response. For example, every time you worry, your body doesn't know the difference between a real danger and a danger we assume is there. So right. Our body mobilizes for what we're worrying about, even though there's no benefit to that mobilization. So it's a very good example of where we waste our energy and where we bring our bodies out of balance and where stress has its impact. And so to be resilient, you want to make sure that you're minimizing the mobilization, the stress response, when it's not going to produce any result for you, because you're wasting your energy, you're creating more wear and tear on your body, and yet it's not producing any benefit. And so most of us have this situation going on every time we watch the news, every time we hear about something on the other side of the world. We have to be careful that we train ourselves, we retrain ourselves to have maybe an initial response to something we hear about, but then to find a way to let go, so we're not continually using precious energy in a direction that doesn't give us any benefit.
I want to second that. I think that is critical critical to do, because if we don't, we're just going to sink right into a depression. And many people do.
Yeah, either depression or anxiety or burnout, you know, where we've sort of drained ourselves both psychologically and physiologically, and we lose motivation, and it also affects cognitive functioning.
Mm-hmm. It does, yes. Yes, in terms of being able to focus and complete task and being sharp-minded. So these are all such excellent, excellent points. What would you say is the greatest factor impacting health and performance?
I'm sorry, the greatest impact?
The greatest factor that impacts health and performance. Would you say it's exactly what we were talking about? That,
yeah.
You know, being able to shift from that initial low negative response to something or reaction to something and shift that
mm-hmm.
into a better place where we can have a brighter perspective on it.
Right. Well, you know, that's where I developed my 9 pillars of resilience, because each one of them plays an important part. But if I was to start in a couple of places, the first one is my 5th pillar, which is mental balance and mastery. And a lot of the times we encounter stress, we encounter difficulties, and we might take the attitude of, I can't do anything about it, or I have an inappropriate response, and we just kind of feel badly that we have an inappropriate response. But it's important to realize that we have tremendous capability of growth. And if we notice we're doing something that's not serving us, like we're overreacting in a situation, or we're worrying, as I said before, the position you want to take is, okay, how do I learn to change that behavior? How do I learn to change that thinking? How do I learn to change that pattern? So the first step is always with this notion of a growth mindset. There's something I can do to learn to do this better. When you start out with a growth mindset, it gives you hope instead of frustration and hopelessness. And that's a beautiful way to start any time you're having an issue. What do I need to do? It immediately takes your thinking in the right direction. And then along with the growth mindset is a positive mindset. A lot of times when I'm working with somebody, the first thing out of their mouths is, oh my goodness, that's going to be difficult, or I don't know if I can do that. Those negative thoughts and thinking patterns take you in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Because the interesting thing is as soon as you say, that's going to be difficult, it actually makes it more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, okay, what do I do? How do I engage here to learn how to stop this pattern or start a healthy pattern? Now my thinking is going in the right direction, and I'm already ahead of the game because
yeah.
I'm already mobilizing, and my movement is in the right direction. So
I want to say something about that, because I think this happens all the time with people, and if we can just maybe break things down that seem like an insurmountable task or overwhelming task, and be able to say, well, where could I start? Let me break this down into smaller tasks, you know? Or sometimes our anxiety gets the best of us right in the very moment we know we have to accomplish something, and we are focused, as you said, on the fear of it not happening or not being able to do it. So maybe we can get somebody we trust, a friend, a family member, to help us break it down into a smaller task. Any thoughts on
that? Yes. Those are very good approaches, the thinking in small steps, making it easier to achieve is certainly very, very important. And, yes, having the support of somebody else. This is my second pillar of resilience, is relationship with others and establishing healthy and loving relationships with others and getting support from them. And the other piece is my first pillar, which is our relationship with the most important person in our lives, ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so in my first pillar, I talk about having a healthy relationship with yourself. Most of us have a tendency to be overly self-critical, self-judgmental. We make a mistake, and instead of having compassion toward ourselves, which would be the healthy approach, we put ourselves down and actually make the situation worse by being so angry at ourselves. So the first pillar is about having a loving and accepting relationship with yourself. So that if you make a mistake, the goal is to learn the lesson of the mistake rather than to make it even worse by putting yourself down. So those are a couple of the keys to resilience, the mindset and the relationship with yourself, relationship with others as well.
Yes. We're going to take a quick break, but I would like to talk about your other pillars and delve into that a little more. So let's take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment with Business Life Works, talking today with Dr. Steven Sitterhoff about his book, The Nine Pillars of Resilience, The Proven Path to Master Stress, Slow Aging, and Increase Vitality. Stay tuned.
Did you know that more than 54% of Americans fight with people close to them because of stress? That people with positive social relationships recover from illness faster? And that people who have a best friend at work are 7 times more likely to be engaged in their jobs? The Relationship Code teaches us to empower ourselves in all types of relationships with the new techniques and insights of the 4-step harmonic matching process. The harmonic process integrates psychology with universal principles to help people achieve their desires. In the Relationship Code, you'll learn to create positive self-fulfilling prophecies, communicate effectively, enhance relationships on the job, overcome everyday and long-term challenges, and develop extraordinary outcomes. Published by Career Press and available now, you can go to www.margaretmacraw.com or call 410-366-9111 to order the book. Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach, as well as a holistic health practitioner, and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction. Would you like to transcend patterns in your life that inhibit you from attracting true love? Begin creating strong, fulfilling relationships that are long-lasting. Margaret McCraw's book, Tune Into Love, can give you a positive start and an exciting new process for attracting the loving partner you seek. Tune Into Love will also teach you 4 essential steps for focusing your thoughts, emotions, and beliefs to create all of your desires. Learn how to sidestep the self-imposed roadblocks that hold you from fulfillment. In addition to attracting and creating a fulfilling relationship, Tune Into Love will show you how to attract better health, fulfilling careers, abundance of money, and harmony in all aspects of your life. Order your copy today at www.tuneintolove.com or call 877-366-9111 or visit the website tuneintolove.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCaw, host of Business Life Works. We're here today with Dr. Stephen Sidoroff, and he is an internationally renowned psychologist, consultant, and professor at UCLA. Dr. Sidoroff, would you please give your website information and let our listeners know how they can contact you?
Absolutely, Margaret. It's drstephensidoroff.com. There's a lot of very useful information on my website, and people who can get a free audio download of a relaxation exercise, and even more important, they can take my resilience assessment questionnaire. They can derive their own personal resilience profile along my 9 key pillars of resilience.
Oh, great. That sounds wonderful. Thank you. And your book, The 9 Pillars of Resilience, The Proven Path to Master Stress, Slow Aging, and Increased Vitality, they can purchase that at any place where books are sold, bookstores, online, or your website.
Right. Correct.
Yep. Good. Okay. Well, let's delve into this a little bit more. As we were wrapping up our first segment, you were talking about how critical it is to address our mindset and then to be aware of our relationship to ourselves and our relationship with others and creating the support that's needed to be more resilient. Would you like to kind of start with maybe the first pillar, go back to that for a moment and address some things, or where would you like to go with this?
Let me just emphasize that because you know, we're with ourselves 24/7, and we're with the voice talking to us 24/7. And we listen to that voice because it's been with us our entire life. And we kind of get stuck here because we automatically think that that's who we are, automatically think that the messages from that voice are like in our DNA, like we're born with them, and that's the furthest from the truth. We develop these patterns that I refer to as our primitive gestalt patterns, lessons learned in childhood, and they go in very deep because they are survival lessons, survival learning. And that voice can frequently be overly critical, overly judgmental, and negative. We carry a lot of the messages from childhood about not being okay, about not being worthy, not being lovable. All of these messages we have to begin separating from ourselves. And the way I suggest people do this is to, number one, realize that this voice and these messages is not in our DNA. We were not born with them. We've learned them. And just as we've learned them, even though they went in very deeply, we can begin a process to unlearn them. But you can't just unlearn something. In order to really unlearn something, you have to learn something else. And so the something else is coming from a healthy internal voice, a healthy internal parent. And so the hallmarks of the messages of a healthy internal voice are messages of love, compassion, acceptance, support, care, and joy. Now, what I've just given everybody is a model of a healthy internal voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're struggling with something, if you're upset about something, I guarantee you can trace it back to some negative judgmental message you're giving yourself. And so now I'm giving everybody an actual training and retraining that everybody can do on an ongoing basis. You're feeling upset? What's the negative message you're giving yourself? Then you'd say, this is wrong. This doesn't serve me. This doesn't help me. And then you shift to this healthy internal voice coming from those key ingredients. And that's more of a loving response, more of an accepting response, more of a compassionate response. In other words, if you make a mistake, rather than now coming along and beating yourself up for that mistake, You want to be compassionate with yourself. You will get better results in life. You will learn better if you come from that compassionate place. So the first pillar is so important in that respect. The next pillar that I would highlight, so we talked about the fifth, mental balance and mastery, the first, touched on the second, the fourth is physical balance and mastery. So here, you know, when we started out our conversation, Margaret, where I talked about the imbalance that's created because we have a biological stress response that doesn't fully serve us. And what I like to say, I like to redefine the stress response as a useful tool because to some degree it mobilizes us, it helps us focus, it helps us set goals, it serves us, and that's why it's been associated with all our success. But there's a stress sweet spot, an amount of stress that serves us the most, and when we keep pushing stress beyond that, that's when we get into the danger zone. That's when our health starts to break down and our performance begins to break down. So you could think of an upside down U, where at low levels of stress and activation, you're not motivated, you don't produce as well. But as you increase activation and stress, your performance goes up until it reaches a peak. And that's where everybody wants to be. But if we keep pushing stress beyond that into chronic stress, that curve starts to come down and both health and performance suffer. And so we want to be in that stress sweet spot. And the only way to do that is to practice some form of meditation, relaxation, biofeedback. Think about your day. And you know in your day you run from one stressful situation to another. The stimuli that trigger stress all throughout our day, whether it's worrying about our finances, whether it's worrying about performance, whether it's worrying about how people are going to receive us. But how many stimuli do we have in our day that say, you're safe, you can relax?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know about you, but I don't have any. I have to put them in.
That's a good point.
And that's what we need to do to create balance. We need some way to balance out all the stresses in our day by practicing some form of relaxation on a daily basis.
And I would like to interject. I think, too, sometimes just, again, having one or two people in our mindset that, you know, I'm starting to slip, I'm starting to, you know, get anxious or feel overwhelmed, what can I do? If it may be that you call that person who always uplifts you, you know, or you call that person who helps you see things from a higher perspective, puts it in perspective for you. Sometimes I see that people make the mistake of calling people who are just going to vent with them and take them further into the same space. And sometimes they misunderstand that that's not really supportive, you know. So we have to take a quick break. I think we should come back to that for a minute because you do spend some time talking about relationships, and I think that's so critical here. So let's take a quick break. We're going to come back to another segment talking today with Dr. Steven Sidaroff. Thank you for being with us, and stay tuned. We'll be back.
Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach as well as a holistic health practitioner and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCraw, host of Business Life Works. We are here today talking with Dr. Steven Sidorov, and he is an internationally renowned psychologist, consultant, and professor at UCLA. His book is called The Nine Pillars of Resilience, The Proven Path to Master Stress, Slow Aging, and Increase Vitality. Now, who wouldn't want all of those things, to master stress, slow aging, and increase vitality? I would venture to say pretty much everybody is interested in those end results. So, Dr. Sidorov, before we took a break, we were talking a bit about relationships and taking steps when we know that we're starting to slip into a negative response, negative reaction. And, you know, I was saying how relationships, you know, I've certainly in my work with clients see that some will call somebody or reach out to the person who's going to put them down more or who's going to just vent with them and help keep them in the same place. I think it's so important to be able to think through when we're at a good place, not wait till we're in a bad, negative, you know, space emotionally, to think through who's the best person to call, who uplifts me, who helps me put things in perspective or helps me see things from a better perspective to reframe things. Who's that person? Because next time I slip into a negative frame of mind, I'd like to call that person. So let's, you know, any thoughts on all of this?
Yes, of course. Let's start with where I was when I was talking before about establishing a healthy internal voice, where when you're out of balance, when you're thrown out of balance, the first place you want to go to is calling on that healthy voice to help ground you and help center you, recenter you when you're pushed off of your center. But yes, the next step would be who can I reach out to, who can help in that process, who I know loves me, cares about me, and wants good things for me, and that really brings up the second pillar, our relationship with others. And one of the important aspects of this pillar is being able to discriminate people who when you're with them, you feel relaxed, you feel safe, you feel comfortable, you feel fully feel supported, versus others. And it could be, really, unfortunately, could be friends or family where you don't feel that same sense of safety, same sense of security, where you may be concerned that they can judge you or find fault with you. Or it may be somebody who's negative, and it may not be their intention to either find fault with you or anything else, but they just have a tendency to focus on what's wrong, focus on what could go wrong, catastrophic expectations, those people are not good people to go to when you're needing support, when you're needing to be sort of couched in a positive, safe environment, because it's when you feel like you're in a safe environment, that's when you can let down your guard, and that's when you can open up your heart, and that's when you get emotional nourishment. And that is really a very important aspect of resilience. Being able to open and take in positive, good, loving feelings. And unfortunately, many of us, because of childhood experiences, expect danger as an adult because that was typical as a child. And so we walk around with our heart sort of closed down, guarded, and we're not able to take in emotional nourishment when we have a guarded heart. And we can't open the heart unless we have an environment that facilitates that, that's safe, it feels safe, it feels non-judgmental.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. That's a really, really good point. How do you recommend that somebody who has that long history of perhaps neglect, abuse, whatever, in their childhood, and they are struggling with taking in the positive emotions, the positive feelings, and as a result, maybe has attracted many people in their life, even who they consider their support system, who create
right.
more of the same environment
right.
where they feel unsafe. Any thoughts?
Yes, and sometimes a person like that would say feel guilty by not being with someone who they have been friends or in the family. But, you know, number one, we have to take care of ourselves. And we have to discriminate the environment we're in. And it's not that you always want to walk around with your heart either open or closed. My eighth pillar of resilience is flexibility. And so you want to be able to be flexible with how you open and close your heart, and you do it based on the environment you're in. And so if you notice that you are on guard with a particular person, it's very simple. That's not a person that you're going to be able to fully get emotionally nourished with. And you have to look for someone else where when you're with them, you feel like you can relax more readily. You feel like you could let down your guard more readily. Those are the people those are the environments in which you will get your needs met. So if you notice that a lot of the people you're in a relationship with, you do have your guard up with, well, to begin with, you're not going to just change all your relationships, but you want to begin by finding people who you can feel comfortable and safe with. So that would be the first step. It may not be to reject other people that you've been friends or of course you can't, if they're in your family, that's a whole other story, but you want to find the people who you could let down your guard and get emotional nourishment from.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good point here that you're making for sure. So, with all this in mind...
And by the way, that begins with how you treat yourself. Again, the first pillar is there's nothing stopping you from starting to be more loving and compassionate and accepting of yourself. And that's always a good place to begin.
Right. That's a very good point. Very, very good point. Well, from this place of thinking about how we treat ourselves, who we bring into our experience to hopefully create a safe, positive environment, what would be another step that you'd like to work with us on today to be more resilient?
I would go to my sixth pillar, which is emotional balance and mastery. And here we're talking about noticing, being aware of feelings that come up And a lot of times we push them back down. A lot of times we feel, oh, there's nothing I could do about that. I can't approach this person. Let's say I'm upset with this person. If I go to them, they may get angry.
Hold on to that thought, Dr. Sidorov, because we do have to take a break.
Very good.
We'll be back in just a moment, okay? We'll be back just a moment to Business Life Works. Thank you.
Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach, as well as a holistic health practitioner, and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Would you like to transcend patterns in your life that inhibit you from attracting true love? Begin creating strong, fulfilling relationships that are long-lasting. Margaret McCraw's book, Tune Into Love, can give you a positive start and an exciting new process for attracting the loving partner you seek. Tune Into Love will also teach you four essential steps for focusing your thoughts, emotions, and beliefs to create all of your desires. Learn how to sidestep the self-imposed roadblocks that hold you from fulfillment. In addition to attracting and creating a fulfilling relationship, Tune Into Love will show you how to attract better health, fulfilling careers, abundance of money, and harmony in all aspects of your life. Order your copy today at www.tuneintolove.com or call 877-366-9111 or visit the website TuneIntoLove.com.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCall, host of Business Life Works. We're here today with Dr. Sidorov, and he is an internationally renowned psychologist, consultant, and professor at UCLA. Why don't you give your website, and then we'll wrap up the show today with giving that information again.
So it's drstephensidorov.com, and a lot of very useful information there. I have a couple of courses in addition to my book, both on resilience, but also on how to get a good night's sleep. So many of us have difficulty with that, and I have a great program there to help people get a good night's sleep.
Wonderful. Thank you. It's great. I'm sure our listeners will go to your website and definitely look at your options. So before we took a break, we were talking about emotional balance. You just started to get into this topic, so I'm going to let you take off with that. And then we'll be wrapping up the show with this segment. So go ahead.
Yeah, so emotional balance and mastery is about recognizing that when a feeling comes up in us, if we don't take care of it, it doesn't go away on its own. Time doesn't heal all wounds. And what happens is it just kind of goes into our unconscious. But in that space, it drives our behavior because it is unmet needs. It's either unmet needs of feelings that need to be expressed or unmet needs even from back from childhood, the need for approval, a need for acceptance, the need to be valued. And so a lot of our behavior as adults is driven by these unmet needs and unfinished business. Mm-hmm. So it's so important when feelings come up to realize you need to do something to work through them and let go of them. And people mm-hmm. say to me, well, you know, if I've approached so-and-so and they just don't listen or they get angry with me. The important thing here, Margaret, is that if I'm sitting with a feeling, I'm the one that has the feeling, and I'm the one that needs to address what's inside of me. If I needed the other person out there to resolve something inside of me, we'd all be stuck sitting with unfinished business. The good news is that everybody can finish it themselves, because what needs to happen is the feeling needs to be acknowledged, recognize what it's about, and you have to find a way to express it, even if it's beating on a pillow, and then letting go. I have people coming to me who've worked on anger with a family member for years and years, a parent or whoever, and they say, I've expressed this feelings, I've expressed it, but I'm still carrying it. And that's because we're still expecting the other person to be different, to change. Mm-hmm. And here's another important point. They may never change. We have no control over anybody but ourselves. And so the key is, there are times where we have to accept the reality around us and that we can't change it, but we can address the feelings that we're still carrying inside. So we have to find a way of working through those feelings, because if I'm angry at Joe, I'm the one suffering, carrying this anger. He's not. So emotional balance and mastery is an important part of being and staying in balance, and really maintaining this optimal internal environment in our bodies, which is ultimately the key here to not only psychological well-being, but physical well-being and longevity as well. Everything is tied together here. And so we're not only talking about stress, we're talking about cognitive functioning. The more you're in a place of balance based on these nine pillars, the better you will function mentally, cognitively, and your performance will be at its best.
Right. So, you know, how do you suggest to somebody who's, like, to keep replaying that conversation in their head, something that has occurred, maybe they felt put down, maybe they felt humiliated, maybe they just felt, you know, very angry, and they didn't feel they could talk to the person. Maybe it's their boss, so they need to be a bit more careful, don't want to lose their job, don't want to be with somebody who's, you know, maybe they're with somebody who's vengeful and they don't want to lose their job, or they don't want to lose the relationship for some reason. What do you say to that person? Because I think we've all done that, where you replay something in your head and you, like, almost you're obsessive compulsive about it. You, like, have to stop yourself, because if you don't stop yourself in your tracks, you're just going to keep spiraling down. And like you started out our interview, our discussion with, you know, negative energy, it just sucks us. It takes our energy. When we're not resilient and bounce back, then we're getting caught up in some of this negativity, and it's stealing our energy. So we can't do the things we really could be doing or want to do, or living our life purpose. Any thoughts on
right.
that?
Yes, absolutely, and we all get stuck around this very issue, because this is our conditioning. The behavior that you're describing, you know, going around and around in our heads about something, is a pattern that is built into our the lessons of usually of our childhood, but certainly of more recent more recent history. And the first key here is to realize it took a long time for those patterns to develop. They're not gonna change overnight. It's not like going to the wall and flipping a switch and suddenly you're doing it differently. There needs to be a willingness and an intention to break a pattern. And the way you break a pattern is every time is to hold the intention of noticing it. And when you notice it, you essentially say no to it. You say, this doesn't serve me. This is just wasting my energy without any constructive result. And then you shift into a different pattern, which the more you practice a relaxation exercise on a daily basis, the more you'll be able to start breaking old patterns, because our activation state is part of what the pattern is. And so the more we are able to breathe, relax, and then focus from the healthy internal voice, we begin to set up a new, literally, for example, this hour-long conversation we're having, your audience has started to develop new neural pathways based on this one-hour conversation. That's how neuroplasticity works. But we have to be consistent with it and keep doing the same stop of the old pattern, start of the new pattern, stop the old message, and begin talking from the new healthy perspective. And if you do that consistently and hold that intention, you will begin to notice greater and greater effectiveness in letting go of the old and doing the new. That's how neuroplasticity works.
It's a very, very, very good point. Do you have one final tip you want to give? We do have to wrap up the show.
Yeah, I will tell everybody that you're all capable of doing this in a healthier, better way. You're all capable of letting go of some of these old messages. But as I've been saying, neuroplasticity requires persistence, focus, and attention to following through. And so, for example, my book, which Michael Ovitz hailed as a true Bible of learning new techniques, is a way to start working on it on a daily basis, reading five pages, taking one lesson, and following through. So it's a consistent following of new ways of doing things that will lead to monumental changes in your life, your thinking, and how you feel about yourself.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sidorov. Dr. Sidorov, again, his book is called The Nine Pillars of Resilience. You can purchase it wherever books are sold. And please go to his website, drstevensidorov.com, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for being on our show today. Wonderful information. And to my listeners, I will see you next month.